Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, The Activities of the Prachetas, Text number 9 is on the board. Yo nu smarati sandhyayam, yujman anidinam naraha, tasya bratrishva atma samyam, Tata bhuteshu saudvidam yonu smarati sandhyayam yusman anudinam naraha tasya pratrish vatma samyam tata bhuteshu saudvidam. Yomam smarati samyam yam yushman anudinam naraha tasya bratri shvatma samyam tata bhuteshu saudridam. Ladies. Yo nu smarati sandhyayam yushmana nudinam narha tasya vritrati yata bhuteshu saudridam ya. Actually, we don't have to read because there's no translation, there's no purport. The Lord continued, those who remember you every evening of every day will become friendly with their brothers and with all other living entities. We'll just see what, if anyone can figure out what this means. What does ya mean? Have you ever seen that word before? Okay, one who. What does smarati mean? Anusmarati. Yeah, continuously remember. Always remember. Sanyayam. What does that mean? What's that? When is that? When is sanyarti? Really, you have sanyarti noon here. Quite an unusual temple. What is sandhyarti? When is sandhyarti? What does sandhi mean? What is that?
Transition.
Transition, yes, sandhi. So it is, when is sandhyarti? When is mangalarti? Yes. So in the evening. Yushman is you. What is dina? What does dina mean? What's that? That, well, dina, yeah, I guess. Dinam. What does dina mean? Dinam. Anu, what does anudina mean? Ayuharati vais pumsam yasman na so yayoradana. It has the word dinam in there. Dinam is the day. And anu means day after day, so every day. What does naraha mean? Yes, human being. Tasya bratrishu. Who's a bratri? Yeah. With his brothers. Atma samyam, personally quality. Tata, as also. What is bhuteshu? All living beings. Saudridam. What's that? Yeah, friendship. Saudridam, friendship. Translation. The Lord continued, those who remember you every evening of every day will become friendly with their brothers and with all other living entities. Ye tu mam rudra gitena sayam prata samahitaha stuvantyaham kamam varyaran dasye pragya cha sobanam. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who will offer me the prayers composed by Lord Shiva, both in the evening and the morning and the evening, will be given benedictions by me. In this way, they can both fulfill their desires, obtain good intelligence. Purport. Good intelligence means going back home, back to Godhead. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. One who offers prayers to the Lord to fulfill his different desires must know that the highest perfectional fulfillment of desire is to go back home, back to Godhead. In this verse is indicated that those who remember the activities of the Prachetas, the sons of King Prachinibharhishat, will be delivered and blessed. So what to speak of the sons of King Pratibharhishat, who are directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the way of the parampara system. We follow the acharyas, we obtain the same benefit as our predecessors. One follows the decisions of Arjuna, he should be considered to be directly hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference between hearing Bhagavad Gita directly from the Supreme Personality, Supreme Lord, and following a personality like Arjuna, who formerly heard Bhagavad Gita directly from the Lord. Sometimes foolish people argue that since Krishna is not present at the moment, one cannot take direct instructions from him. Such foolish people do not know that there is no difference between directly hearing Bhagavad Gita and reading it. As long as one accepts Bhagavad Gita as it is, spoken by the Lord. However, one wants to understand Bhagavad Gita by his imperfect interpretations. One cannot possibly understand the mysteries of Bhagavad Gita, even though one may be a great scholar according to mundane estimation. Vam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadyade Sadharana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that actually bhakti yoga is also called buddhi yoga, using our spiritual intelligence. But what does that mean? Generally, we think using intelligence means to get ahead in the material world, to make some progress materially, in terms of aishvarya, in terms of wealth, or jnana, material knowledge, or other kinds of material progress. Come in number one in something, be a recognized expert at something, to have degrees in something. But of course, Queen Kunti disagrees with that. She says, Aishvaryasya samaya, she says, Dhanma Aishvarya Shuta Shivir Eda Manak Madak Puman Naivahat Devadatum Vai Twam Akinchana Gochara. That anyone who becomes puffed up by the accumulation of different material assets, such as Aishvarya or Janma, because nowadays what's considered a good birth, that's very hard to figure out. But generally, if one is born in a first world country, because it's hard to say what a first world country is nowadays, first in the world in debt, living off borrowed money. In any case, when it takes birth in a so-called materially progressive civilization, technologically advanced with all kinds of gadgets, something to clip your nails, something to brush your teeth, someone to feed you, something to put you to sleep. And Aishwarya, if you have money, at least paper money nowadays, then you're considered to be very fortunate. Shruta, you have some piece of paper that says you're educated, then people show you respect. He got, somehow or another, he had enough brains to get this paper. Must be intelligent. And Shibi, somehow or another, just look like you're beautiful. I was seeing on the internet one lady, I forget her name, some famous singer. She had 348 plastic surgeries. She obviously didn't like the way she looked. Somehow or another, become beautiful in someone's eyes. Then you're considered to making some progress. Progress in what? Actually, progress in illusion. We're intoxicated by our material identification with this body, thinking I am this gross or this subtle body. And then when we try to make progress in terms of material education, bodily beauty, material influence, or wealth, then we become crazy. We become overly concerned in a sphere that we're not supposed to be dealing with. Therefore, real intelligence, Krishna says, evam buddhe puram buddhva sam stabhyatmanam atmanaha jahi shatru mahabaho kam rupam durasidam. Knowing oneself to be transcendental, because that's what we should think ourselves, we're actually transcendental. We may be now an illusion, just like someone is sick. They have typhoid. So they know they're sick. They don't think, oh, I'll just deny the fact that I'm sick and the disease will just go away. If there's a fire in your house, just pull the shades down and no one can see it. So everyone is intoxicated by the material nature, become maddened by it. But we want to put on a good show. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Everything's great. The family, oh, they're wonderful. Really, what's going on? Well, my sister committed suicide. My mother jumped off a bridge. And my father has cancer and he had 5 operations. But it's cool. Everything's great. We're having a great time. How's it going with you? Well, worse, let me tell you. What you said was a good part. But people are trying to put on a show, everything's all right, in spite of the fact of all the difficulties. Therefore, knowing oneself to be transcendental, we have to remember that. The material world is not supposed to be a good place. It's supposed to be a place of suffering. But we're transcendental. To the, what? To the material senses, the mind, and the intelligence. And therefore we should control the lower self by the higher. So what is that controlling the lower self by the higher? The lower self is what? Does anyone know what the lower self is? Have you met your lower self lately? I looked in the mirror and I saw my lower self. What is the lower self? Yes. Yeah, that's yeah, sure, that's all part of the lower self. The senses, the mind, the material intelligence, the false ego, they're all part of our lower identification. And what's the higher self? What's that? Well, yeah, how are we going to control the lower self by our higher self? Who's actually the higher self? What's that? Well, the soul can use his intelligence to take shelter of who's the actual controller, who's the higher self. Krishna is the higher self. So we can, with good intelligence, if we want good intelligence, and the association of devotees, we get good intelligence, and if we accept that good intelligence, then we can take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna can control our lower self by spiritual energy. Krishna is the actual controller, and we surrender to him, then he engages us under his spiritual energy. Daivi Prakritim Ashritya. We take shelter of that. So when we try to get the intelligence how to concentrate the mind upon Krishna through devotional service, then Krishna controls the lower self by the higher. And what is the result? We conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Evam bhude puram bhudva sam stavyatmanam atma jahi shatrum maha vaho kama rupam dharashidam. Therefore, we're trying to figure out how to take shelter of Krishna. That's the whole idea. Not that we're going to become independently powerful or anything. We're just going to realize that we're not independent and that we have to take shelter of Krishna. So that's our perfection. And it's not like everyone else may be doing the right thing or they may be doing the wrong thing, but it has really nothing to do with what I'm doing, whether I'm taking shelter of Krishna. If I am actually properly situated, taking shelter of Krishna, then we want people to do the right thing, to also take shelter of Krishna. But if they don't, that doesn't affect me. It's not that Prahlad Maharaj, when he saw his father, Aranyakashipu, got angry, then he thought, oh, I did the wrong thing, maybe I shouldn't talk about Krishna anymore. I got my father angry, we're not, love thy father and thy mother, so. No, he didn't back off. He knew he was doing the right thing. And therefore, whatever his father's reaction was, if his father would have said, yes, I surrender, then Prahlad would have been happy, but he still would have been Krishna conscious. And if his father remained an asura, Prahlad still remained a devotee. That's called undisturbed by one's material circumstances. That's possible when one actually gets the higher taste on the spiritual platform. If we're on the spiritual platform and we're seeing things, everything as it is, and we're blissful, then why would we choose to go to the material platform? If we actually see that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant, and simply everyone is praying to Krishna 24 hours a day eternally. It is not that only a few people offer prayers to Krishna and everyone else is aloof. Everyone else is doing whatever they want and getting whatever they want according to their own particular desert, what they want, or energies or potencies. No, everyone is 100% dependent upon Krishna 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, forever. No one can do anything unless Krishna arranges it in the material world. The materialists, they're praying to Krishna for material things. Although they may be unconscious, but their desires themselves are actually prayers. And Krishna understands the desire of the living entity, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So he knows what the living entity wants, and according to what the living entity deserves, he arranges the material nature. So prayers are actually prayers to Krishna. Desires are actually prayers to Krishna. And Krishna will decide what one deserves because Krishna knows everything. He knows exactly what we did. He knows if we were bad or good. In America, they have Santa Claus. I don't know if they have Santa Claus here. I guess they have everything here now. Most things, except for Kentucky Fried Chicken. Santa Claus. In America, they have a song, Santa, something about, he knows if you are bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You have that song here? No. You better not shout, you better not cry, Santa Claus is coming to town. You heard that? Yeah, that's part of the song. So Santa Claus is an imperfect. He's only a partial expansion of Krishna. Actually, Krishna actually knows if we're bad or good. He knows exactly what we're doing 24 hours a day. And he's giving everyone their present. Everyone gets a present. It's called the material body and mind. Here's your nice 2015 frog body. Oh, thank you very much. Now go and leap. Oh, yes. So Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desire. So we should know what's desirable. We've been conditioned by so many different so-called authorities what's desirable. And of course, peer pressure, societal pressure as such, it's very hard for us to give up these ideas of what's desirable. People think it's perfectly normal. Take the family out to dinner and go to a steakhouse. They think this is a civilization. And if we don't want to go, if we say, if we don't go, they think we're weird. And if we say something about it, they think we're a threat to civilization. Dangerous cult. Against normal values. Therefore, when we should know what's actually desirable and what's not desirable. Because generally speaking, the devotees, after taking prasadam for some time, they no longer have much of a taste. I don't think if we get handed out free tickets to McDonald's here, we'd find devotees flocking to McDonald's tonight. Maybe sell the tickets so we can get some money and sell books with it. But even that we probably wouldn't even do. But there's other things that we're still conditioned by that's called anarthas. And we think that these desires are not so bad because even the devotees, they look around, they're all doing it. No one's going to criticize me for doing it because everyone else is doing it. Whatever it is, whether it's striving for profit, adoration, or distinction, or criticizing, or whatever else anarthas we may have. We think it's part of my personality. It's who I am. If I give these things up, I won't be myself anymore. I'll be someone else. Usually it's the devotees, oh, the chanting doesn't, we chant, we don't pay attention. Oh, it's just perfectly normal. Look around, at least I'm awake. I'm doing quite good. I bet I chant too loud, I'll wake everyone up. So we take these things as normal. This is just the way things are supposed to be. And if I made too much progress, I went back to the spiritual world, then I have all this unfinished service. Where's so-and-so? He went back to the spiritual world. That rascal, he didn't do his service. Bring him back here. So we have to, that's why we're supposed to read Prabhupada's books. That's why we're supposed to come to the classes and chant Hare Krishna. So we can get real intelligence to find out what direction in life we should be taking, where we should be going. Rather than, you know, the rascal mind always giving us this complaint about this person. Look, again. As if we're making progress that way. We become so intelligent, we understand exactly how everyone is deviating from devotional service. So that kind of intelligence is not very helpful, unless one has that service to figure out how everyone is deviating. But I don't think anyone has ever been given that service. We should develop the service, how we can actually develop bhakti. How we can develop appreciation, enthusiasm, confidence, patience. We should use our intelligence to develop these things so that we can actually become qualified to become Krishna conscious. So that we can render consistent and enthusiastic service. Therefore, Prabhupada, in several lectures I know, he said, if you're feeling morose, it's because we're in Maya. It's not like I practice Krishna consciousness so hard, I try so hard, therefore I'm morose. No, it's because I haven't really understood what Krishna consciousness is, and therefore I haven't given up my material conceptions of things, and because of that I'm morose. If we're feeling morose, it's a sign of lack of Krishna consciousness, not that I'm too Krishna conscious. I've become so advanced I can understand what's going wrong in the Hare Krishna movement. No one listens to me, so I'm morose. No, it's just a sign of our lack of Krishna consciousness. Sure, we should find out what's going wrong. We can look at examples and see the bad example, but not to criticize people, just so that we don't follow it ourselves. So we can understand what the good examples are. So that's what we should look for. And if we find the good examples and we desire to follow the good examples, then automatically we'll become an example for even the bad examples, including our own bad example. So in that way, Krishna will give us intelligence, if we want it, how to make progress towards devotional service. And part of that is explained here, we'll actually learn how to cooperate with the devotees. We'll see that there is a mission. What happens a lot in our society is we forget what the mission was. We become so advanced in Krishna consciousness, we don't have to do the mission anymore. We just have to relish ourselves, how advanced we are. Look ourselves in the mirror and say, oh, you're so advanced. You're such a good devotee. I really admire you. No, as soon as we forget the mission, we forget that why we should be cooperating with each other. And then the result is, then we don't cooperate with each other, and we just spend all our time criticizing and fighting with each other, either openly or subtly, because we're not properly engaged. We've missed what our actual duties are, how we should be working together. Sure, we can work together to serve the deities, but how many pujaris do you need? So deity worship is not the primary service in this age. The primary service is to cooperate to spread Krishna consciousness. And especially not just to get people to become so-called devotees, but get people to chant Hare Krishna, to chant japa, follow the regular principles, and to preach themselves, to learn the philosophy, so that not that they just become reservoirs of knowledge, so they can look themselves in the mirror and say, oh, I'm so intelligent. I know so much. So they can tell others about Krishna also. Become instruments for spreading the Sankirtan movement. So if that's not going on, therefore, we have to look inside ourselves and figure out how we can make it go on at least for ourselves more. So that will make some progress in the Hare Krishna movement. Not that we'll wait for everyone else to progress. When everyone else is far ahead of me, then I'll catch up. No, we should try and make a little progress ourselves. And then people will become inspired. And they see that at least someone is trying to make some progress. Others will become inspired also. But if we wait for everyone else to make progress, before we do, we'll all be looking around. Who's going to make progress first? Not me. Don't look at me. I never came here to make progress. I just want some prasadam. What time is prasadam? Tell me how I can increase my digestion, not my service. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any question? Any comments? Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the wonderful lecture. Even there, I noticed that I found some quotes where Prabhupada says that we should desire to go back home, back to Godhead. And then I found some other quotes where he's saying that the pure devotee doesn't desire, that we should not desire.
Desire what?
To go back home, back to Godhead. But in other quotes, he says this, I found one quote, he said this is actually the ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. If you don't get a desire, then you cannot go. So I'm wondering, when he says the one does not desire this, in what context is that meant? Because it seems like a contradiction to me sometimes.
No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, na dhanam na janam na sundarim, kavitam vad girisha kamaye, mama janmani janmani shvare, bhavitad bhakti ahai tukitvaye. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, I didn't want wealth, I don't want women, I don't want followers, I don't want even liberation. But then he says, ayinanda tanu jakinkaram, patitamam vishame bhavambudo. Kripaya pada pada pankaja stitadli sadvisham pichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant, yet somehow or another I've fallen to this ocean birth and death. Kindly pick me up from this ocean birth and death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So first he's saying, I don't want any of these things, including liberation. I'll take birth after birth. And then the other one he's saying, help, get me out of here. rather a quick change of consciousness. Even the Lord has his moments. No, he says he wants causeless devotional service. So we know causeless devotional service is liberation. We don't want impersonal liberation. We want to be completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness and devotional service. And that is as good as going back to Godhead. So that we should desire. That's the only thing we're supposed to desire. So we become fully conscious of Krishna and fully engaged in devotional service. And that's as good as going back to the spiritual world. And then if Krishna wants us to bring us back to the spiritual world, that's all right. But we'll already be in the spiritual world. Or as good as being in the spiritual world. So we want to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Whether we're here, just like Gop Kumara, or eventually was named Swarup, in the spiritual world, Gop Kumara, when he went back to the spiritual world, he also came back to here. He didn't see any difference between Goloka Vrindavan and Gokula Vrindavan. For him, the material world, when he was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, was as good as the spiritual world. He couldn't see any difference. Anything else? Yes.
How can we advance?
How can we advance? I thought that's what this whole class is about. What part of the class wasn't about that? It's our whole philosophy. How can we advance? Become more consistently engaged in Krishna service with more enthusiasm. And then when Krishna sees that, then he'll give you more intelligence. How to become more consistent and more enthusiastic. It means we're always thinking about Krishna without any deviation. Everything we're doing is exactly what Krishna wants us to do and what his representatives want us to do. And we're doing it just to please him. Unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service to Krishna. Yes?
Well, what is the best way to get, or fastest way to get rid of the madness in the heart? Maybe share some recipe for that.
Well, it's in the Bhagavad. I'm not going to make it my own recipe. I think Krishna is probably the best cook. Well, what does it say in the Bhagavatam? Tat shridana munay. What is that? Tat shridana munaya gyanavairagya yuktaya Pashanyatmani Chatmanam Bhakti Shuddhi Grihitaya. Shushusho Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sianmahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevana. O best amongst the men, by serving the great souls, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity to hearing the message of Bhagavan. So service to the acharyas, service to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The more serious we become about helping others become Krishna conscious, then the more Krishna will give us all his blessings. How to become more and more expert at that. If everyone we meet, we try to help them become Krishna conscious, then Krishna will empower us to help others, empower us more and more to help people become Krishna conscious. Our main anarthas is because we're looking at others, not as their servants to help them become Krishna conscious, because we look at them in other ways. That's our anarthas. Yes.
How to stay here in Krishna consciousness? A lot of our friends are not here anymore. A lot of devotees left.
Well, make some new friends here. All right. Thank you very much. Grandeur, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Kija. We had one more question here, actually. Okay.